Good morning. If you would like to follow along with me just for a little bit, I'll be starting in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, in just a moment with some other key verses that will relate to our lesson. Appreciate so much the opportunity and the invitation to come and to be with you and to share with you in this lesson this morning. My wife Sharon is with me, and I'm grateful for that. She's sitting back here in the back, and would hope that you'd get an opportunity to meet her as we depart this morning. Also, very thankful that the elders here have decided to work as co-worker with us in the Future Preachers Training Camp Ministry U, and that's what we're going to tell you about today. You know, I tell my preacher boys all the time that if I had another life, I would do exactly the same thing that I've done the last 40-some years. And that is to preach the gospel. I have no regrets whatsoever in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, for as long as I've been in the church, we've always regarded preaching as a part of our worship. But I have heard less sermons in our pulpits, and I've done less sermons myself in our pulpits on preaching than any other part of our worship. When was the last time you heard a sermon about preaching? Been a while, probably. Well, you're going to hear one this morning. I'm going to preach about preaching. It's a great time to be a young preacher. Statistics is that over 50% of our preachers are between the ages of 35 and 45. 35-year-old men and even younger men are getting fantastic jobs in the pulpit today. In fact, it's kind of reversed. It was hard back in the day for me to get a position when I was up to about 35, 36, 40, along that line. And sad to say that when I got 48, I was too old. Literally was told that by large congregations. At 48, gray-headed, I was too old. Now, don't let this gray hair fool you. I'm not as old as I look. I've just been gray since about 36, 37 years old, okay? I'm still a young man. Still have a lot of life. Hopefully, the Lord will give me many, many years yet to preach. And I believe the best is yet to come. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 4 and verse 2 that his calling and that his charge was to preach the word. Now, you're not going to hear any big fancy words. I don't know any for one reason. And the other reason, the Bible doesn't use any. So we're going to preach the word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 beginning, as he was calling his disciples and prior to training them in Matthew chapter 10, he said, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages. Now this reminds us of the ministry that Jesus set out to do in his preaching career in Matthew chapter 4. He did three things. Listen. Teaching in their synagogues. Number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And number three, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Ministry. That's basically what Ministry U is all about. We're going to change it just a little bit this year, as we've done in the years past. We're going to emphasize teaching, preaching, and ministry. Rather than have our guys come and take a lot of classes like they've done in the past, we're going to go out in the communities and areas where there must be some ministering performed, and we're going to give them some hands-on ministry experience. Why? because that's what Jesus did. You know, the rabbis or the men of position like that in that day, they would have men who would, they would have disciples who would follow them. And they would follow and they would go everywhere. And while they were going to and fro, he was teaching and instructing them. He said, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest. There is much to do, but few to do it. There's a lot of harvest. There's a lot of souls to be brought to the kingdom. But there are few workers. Every congregation sometime in its lifespan is looking for a good man to preach. You know, the Marines are always looking for a few good men. Why a few good men? Well, you can take a few people who are well prepared, who are focused, and who know their mission, and do much more than you can take a whole group of people, maybe thousands of people that are not trained, who have no focus, who do not realize any mission, and you can accomplish more with a few good men. The Lord is looking for a few good men. Many times I hear small and large congregations say something like this, especially since I went to Christian education. Do you know a good man we could hire to be a preacher? A good man we could hire to be a preacher. In all of your years, how many preachers has your congregation turned out? Many people would say with a bowed head, I can't name a single one. Can't name a single one. We must change that drastically. What is the need of our preachers? I'm told that we have somewhere around 13,000 congregations of the Church of Christ. Now listen, over 50% of them cannot hire a full-time preacher like you have. That means we need 6,500 real quickly. 6,500. A lot of our young men come through our camps, will go to various colleges and do other things. So we're beginning to encourage them to take the training that they have and preach for these congregations. We also encourage them when they come to us at the age of 13. If their area has some of these churches, you are trustworthy. You can handle the pulpit. When I was coming along at age 17, I learned to preach by going to four different congregations each month. Congregations that would not or could not hire someone to come and do their preaching, and I preached for them. You see, you learn to preach by doing. So there's a tremendous need for preachers and evangelists. God had only one son, and he was a preacher. Mark 1:38, Mark says, Jesus said to them, let us go away into the other cities, nearby towns, that I may preach there also. Now listen, that's the reason that I came. Now I believe personally, this is my opinion, and that and about a dollar or so will buy you a cup of coffee somewhere, but this is my studied opinion, that there are people born in this life, not preachers, but they're born to be made preachers. Jesus was one of those. Jeremiah was one of those. John the Baptist was one of those. Where do we fit in that situation? My father had only one son that made a preacher out of seven, and that was me. I have only one son, and he's a preacher. My brother has only one son, and he's a preacher. We are proud of the fact that in the Shepherd family, every generation has had at least one preacher. How did that happen? By encouragement, by planting the seed when we were small. You see, when I was down here coming up, I had an uncle for sure. Every time he saw me, he'd rub my head and said, "One day you'll be a good preacher." Well, I'm still working on that. One day I'll be a good preacher. You see, what did that do? That encouraged me and some others that I grew up with to become preachers. I probably would not be here today if it were not for the fact of those little pats on the head and said, "Son, one day you'll be a good preacher." Now, when I grew up, and I was about 19, 20 years old, and I could look at him square in the eye, he would still pat me on the head and said, "Son, someday you'll be a good preacher." I asked him one day, I said, "When in the world will I ever be a man?" He said, "Oh, when you get about 40. Now, he didn't miss that far. When you get about 40. You see, I grew up in that environment. Are your sons growing up in that environment? We need preachers. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "The things which you've learned from me, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Commit that to faithful men who will be encouraged to preach. Now he said, again looking at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 beginning, "I charge you in the sight of God and in Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But thou be faithful." Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Why would we have such a camp? Why do we have colleges and universities and schools of preaching training young men? To do three things. Preach the word. Secondly, do the work of an evangelist. Learn how to evangelize the unchurched, the unbelievers, those who are lost, and those who will minister. Fulfill your ministry. Are we doing that today? We must be doing that today. When was the last time you encouraged a young man to be a preacher of the gospel? Let me ask the question first of all this morning. What is a preacher? What is a preacher? He's a living human being. You can touch Him. You can hug Him. You can love Him. You will see Him smile, experience joy. You will see Him cry. You will see Him go through things that would break any man's heart. He can be encouraged. He can be criticized. He can be rejected. He can be accepted. Bottom line, He's a human being. I remember preaching a sermon one time, and I was relating some experiences by way of illustration, and a lady came out and looked at me and hugged me and smiled, and she said, "I learned something about you tonight." And I said, "What is that?" She said, "You are a human being just like we are." I said, "Praise God. Wish everybody would learn that. I don't want to be on a pedestal. I refuse to allow people to put me on a pedestal. I am not part of the Godhead." And everywhere I preached, elders would ask me how I wanted to be treated. I just want to be treated like a part of the family. That's it. I'm just part of this great big family called the church. What else is He? He's a creation of God. He's a creation of God. Not talking about His physical creation, but now I'm going to talk about His spiritual creation. You know what Paul had to do before he would preach the gospel? Acts 22:16 said he had to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's the very beginning. You can't lead people where you will not go. You cannot convince people to obey what you have not obeyed. And you cannot convince people to follow you in something you will not do. So Saul of Tarsus had to arise and be baptized and wash away sins. Perhaps you're here this morning that you need to arise. You believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And you willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, repent or perish. You are willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and the Lord of your life. Romans 10:9. And all you lack is just to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You know, John was also a preacher, and he testified and said in Revelation 1:5, talking about Jesus in the context, unto Him who loved us and washed us, loosed us from our sins in His blood. What does the blood of Christ do? When you go down into the watery grave of baptism and you're buried, what does Jesus' blood really do? It causes sin to turn loose. You are washed. You are cleansed. You are loosed from sin. Just like when you put Tide in water and you put your clothes that have been stained with dirt, that Tide causes that dirt to turn loose. The blood of Jesus causes those sins to turn loose. And you are set free. Paul had to do that, because he was a child of God and was called in Acts 22 to be a missionary to the Gentiles and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And as Brother Northern said this morning, we've been called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we're called by the gospel. The gospel calls us to obey the gospel. The gospel is calling some right now to be evangelists. The gospel is calling men to be ministers, to be preachers, to preach the word. Some men are called to be elders. And then ladies are called to do various ministries of service and sacrifice that's beyond the time limit to mention all of those things that the gospel calls us to do. So a preacher is an ordinary person born again by the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism to preach, to minister, and to evangelize. Secondly, let me say this morning, preachers are made, they're not born. You know, I've heard a lot of announcements about mothers giving birth, but I've never heard, yesterday a mother gave birth to a preacher. Now that may be true later on. You know, my mother gave birth to a preacher, but I wasn't one when I was first born. I was made. So was David and others that may come to your mind in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times in the 30-some years, 35, 36 years that I've directed these camps, I've heard young men say, preaching is the greatest calling that a person could ever have. Gus Nichols said this, if I had 1,000 lives to live, I would want to be a preacher every time. And at last would pray for a little more time in which to preach the gospel and reach a few more souls hungering for the truth. Brother Nichols was a master at patting little guys on the head and telling them, you're going to be a great preacher. Every son he had became a preacher. Every son-in-law he had was a preacher. And it all came about due to encouragement. What are we recruiting these young men to do? Communicate divine truth. Preach the word. That's divine truth. Ephesians 4:5 says, speaking the truth in love. Go on down and read in verse 16. It says, causes the growth of the body. Speaking the truth in love causes growth in the body. And what's the body? It's the church. Ephesians 1:22 and 23. So what are we calling, what are we encouraging, what are we recruiting these young men to do? Preach or speak divine truth. Number two, gospelize the world. Paul said in Romans 1:15, for as much as within me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. Why? The gospel is the power of God to save those who believe. I can still hear Jim Massey when I was a student at IBC. Fellows, we gotta gospelize the world. Now, gospelize is not in the Bible, and it's not in the dictionary. It's a word he made up, but he got the point across. We gotta spread the gospel, do the work of an evangelist. Sad to say, we got men being trained that's getting bachelor degrees that don't know how to evangelize. Shame on us. Shame on us. That we would award any young man a degree that's going to go out and preach, and he don't know how to preach, and he doesn't know how to evangelize, and he doesn't know how to minister. How in the world can he build a congregation? There is no way that'll happen. That will not happen in this camp. That will not happen as long as I have anything to do with Ambridge University. These men will know how to go out and do that. That's where you change lives. Lives are changed with preaching the gospel, evangelism, and ministry. And to all of that, glory goes to God. Paul said, whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Now, when's the right time to do this? When's the right time to begin to make a preacher? Let me suggest three areas of life that's very critical in the life of a young man. First of all is the age of regulation. That's years 1 to 7. That's when a child's life is in tune to critical learning. You know, communism said, give us the children's mind the first 5 years and we'll take the world. They've been known to do nations. Why? Because this is the age of critical learning. It's the age of regulation. Number two, age of imitation. This is age 8 to 12. During these years, role models are very important. Rules are important, but example is a great stimulus. They look for that example. That's what Paul told young Timothy, a young preacher, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? An example. An example. And then thirdly, the age of inspiration. That's 13 and above. The age of inspiration. During this teenage period, young men and women can be inspired with great ideas of one kind or another. And brethren and sisters, we either give them heroes or the devil will win. We either give them the inspiration to follow great examples or they'll learn that somewhere and they'll go astray when they learn it. So are we regulating our young people? Are we teaching them? Let me give you an idea. Perhaps somewhere in the young years of these kids that many of you are teaching in these classrooms, Brother Northern was talking about the journeys of Paul, the missionary journeys. When you teach young children those journeys, are you teaching them to become missionaries? To become evangelists? To become preachers when they grow up? You see, we mold these children up to 18 years old. And that's when they get their wings. And that's when they begin to make all of their decisions to either stay with the church or leave the church. A child should have already had his mind or her mind made up to stay with the church long before they go to the first year of college. And see, college will put the icing on the cake. It won't put the ingredients in there. The ingredients will come from us. In these years of regulation, imitation, and inspiration. So Emory University, with your help, we're looking for young men who want to preach, who want to help change the world. We have 5 pillars of ministry you that I want to remind you of, and I've talked about every one of them in one form or another throughout this lesson. Number one, we want to equip these young men to know how to preach from the pulpit. Why? Paul said, preach the word. Now, that will be of necessity to have some classes to teach them the word. Number two, equip them to serve. You know, the story is told when Jesus was on earth. In Matthew 20, beginning at verse 21, the Zebedee mother came and said, "Now, Lord, when you go in your kingdom, put one of my sons on your right side of the throne and one on the left of the throne." He said, "Ma'am, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're saying. Can they suffer what I'm suffering? And besides, that's not for me to give." And he said, "Also, if you want to be great, you're going to be a servant." He said, "You know, great men want to be in great positions." Now, I'm putting it in everyday language a little bit here. You know, the Gentiles lord it over, and they want positions. They want greatness. But that's not going to happen in my kingdom. Whoever's great in my kingdom is going to be a servant. Why? Because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. You see, we want to help train men who will roll up their sleeves and serve, even if that means wiping somebody's sick brow or mopping the floor. You see, when we bring this camp in here, you won't have to worry about this building being dirty and a mess, and you have to come in here and clean it up. We'll leave it just as clean as we found it. These young men will be expected to make their bed. These young men will be expected to serve and wash dishes. Yes, that's exactly what I said. Wash dishes. Guarantee you, if you send your sons to this camp, I will send them back better than what you sent them to me. I've had mothers to tell me, "I don't know what in the world you did, but you changed my son's life. He now picks up his clothes and he makes up his bed and he does all..." How did you get him to do that? I said, people do what they are required to do. Now, in case you're wondering, that's how I learned and earned the name the General. But I guarantee you, these guys love me and my staff a great deal. Love them to death. I still, after many years, find some of these guys at workshops and lectureships, and they'll hug me and thank me for the things that we instilled in them in this week's training. Serving. Number three, evangelize. We'll teach them how to go out and win their neighbor and their friends to the Lord. Equipping to worship. We'll do that in two ways. They'll learn how to operate a worship service in the way that needs to be done. They'll know how to go out and worship God, just like Paul outlined in Romans chapter 12, in preaching and serving and benevolence and all those things he outlined in that chapter. You know, that's in the context of worship, serving the Lord. Every day when we go out there and do that. And number five, we will equip them to lead. 1 Timothy 3:1, if a man aspires to do the work of an elder, he aspires to a good work. Now I read that from the literal text. Those who desire to be an elder and do that work desires a great thing. So leadership in general, specifically in becoming elders of the church, will be emphasized in this camp. Let me just quickly, and I know my time is gone, but quickly mention some benefits to this camp. edification of the Word of God, fellowship and friendship with the finest young men I know anywhere. It's a great faith builder, someone said. It's easier to build boys than it is to restore men. So we're going to help build them. Evangelism skills, learn how to share your faith with others. Leadership skills, develop the leader within you. Public speaking skills, preaching the Bible. Increase your spirituality. We handle words like this, man, spirituality is so thick you can cut it with a knife. Learn how to study the Bible for the rest of your life. Learn how to cultivate and maintain a good personal relationship, not only with God, but with others. And last but not least, faithfulness to the Lord. Yes, God needs a few good men, but they got to be faithful. Let me say two things in closing. One is, does this really work? Does this really work? Let me share with you just briefly what a young man wrote when we asked him the question, what interest do you have in preaching? I didn't have an interest, but a need to preach. Felt a need to preach. I believe that if you are good at something, you should put all of your heart into it. God's will is the most important thing to me, and I want others to know it as well. This young man is at Freed Hardeman now, training to be a preacher. But before he came to us, he'd had several tours in Arusha, Tanzania, as a missionary. He represents, I don't know how many hundred of young men that have written me back with words similar to that. I went back to 1965 in the June 10th issue of the Christian Worker. A preacher by the name of Rue Porter. I never did know this fellow personally, but here's what he said in closing. My days are over and the evening shadows are lengthening rapidly. If men and women are ever converted to Christ, it will be accomplished by gospel preaching. Young preachers should acquaint themselves with such characters as C.R. Nickel, J.H. Blue, Joe Warlick, J.D. Tant, and drink deep of their wisdom they left in their records. What we try to do is to expose these young men to over 100 years of preaching. For example, they'll get to know this young fellow right here. Brother Northern preached 67 years of his life. Curtis Sampley, who's preached 60 years of his life. Younger men, such as my son, at the age 35, has preached 11 years of his life. And on, the years add up. See, we expose them to people who are doing this work, people they can plug in, and people that they can talk with while they're here. And they'll be able to talk with your elders while they're here and gain a tremendous view of what they want to be when they grow up. Before we sing the invitation song, I want to make you aware of the fact that, young man, if you're listening to me and you want to be a part of this camp, there's 5 or 6 applications already downloaded. They're out there on the table. You can take one of those. Please send that to me real quickly. We are beginning to get applications, and I'd like to have a good number from this congregation, and your youth group will never be the same. And then there's some advertisement. You can go online as well. Let me encourage you. Encourage these young men to come to this camp. And if you know of young men that are not a part of this church, write them, call them, text them. Encourage them to be a part of this camp. Now, if you're here and you have never obeyed the gospel and you'd like to obey the gospel that we've taught here today, then you have this opportunity to step forward and to obey that gospel and to begin your ministry and your serving in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If you've done that and fallen away, please come back and repent of your sins. Ask the Lord with us. We'll ask Him for you and with you in prayer that He'll forgive you, and He will. And He'll restore you to your normal walk of life. Would you come as we stand and as we sing?